you, Ange. Before we talk about this any further, I've got a little film to show you.
His certainty of God affected me deeply. I owe this young man a great debt, and because of the work it inspired me to embark upon since, many others do also.
life, what's it all about, is the sort of strapline behind Christianity Explored too. And also, we have at Dawley Baptist our four key values of listening, learning, loving, and living. And over the last number of years, we have explored the first three of those. We've explored almost a whole year the importance of listening and how we listen and the importance of hearing people well and hearing God well rather than just assuming what people think or what God thinks. We then took a long time exploring discipleship and what it means to learn together as a body of people, what it means to understand the Bible, what it means to understand who God is. Then we had a whole last year looking at the whole concept of love. How do we as a community of people show love to one another? How do we show our love to God? How does God show his love to us? And how do we in turn portray and show that love to our world? So big topics, but that's why we've got these as our core values. The last of our core values is life, or lives, I think is the word that we have. So what is life about? What is the Christian life about? How do we live distinctively from how everybody else is living? And in fact, do we live distinctively at all? Are we living lives which actually provoke others to ask questions of us as to how we engage with God, how we engage with the world, how we show, you know. And part of this living, the first part of it we want to sort of explore over the next few weeks, and Roger brought us the first part really last week. It's about how, as Christians, are we able to share our faith with other people? Some people find it dead easy and they could just, you know, talk about Jesus as happily as they can talk about what they had for breakfast or what they're going to do at the weekend. Others of us find it a bit more difficult. Perhaps we feel a bit unsure. Perhaps we feel a bit nervous. Perhaps we feel the burden of responsibility that actually, if I get this conversation wrong, then actually am I condemning myself or somebody else to eternal purgatory, whereas, you know, if I did the conversation right, they would be saved, but I don't take the risk. But I think we misunderstand what God is like if we do that, because God is a God of love, and God is a God who wants to see us and wants to see other people set free. God is a God who loves us as we are. We're a God who loves us even when we were as bad as we ever have been in our lives. It's a God who is our Father. It's a God who doesn't give up on us because we're his children, and parents don't give up on their children. It's just not what happens. Well, not usually, any case. But do we actually understand that God loves us in that kind of way? Because it seems for Paul, when writing to the church at Philippi, things weren't great at all. I mean, he may well be very justified to say, well, you know, if God really loves me and I have faithfully been proclaiming his gospel, then why the heck am I stuffed in this prison in Rome, unable to move freely, unable to talk to other people? You would kind of think that in his writings, Paul would have a certain amount of, you know, bitterness, a certain amount of dissatisfaction, maybe a little bit of woe is me. And yet, in this passage, we don't see that at all. Because what Paul has seen is very much that he is just following in the footstep of his Saviour. Chapter 2 starts like this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and purpose. Don't do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In fact, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But instead of holding on to equality with God, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, and so we start today's reading. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have already always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do it without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. Our generation is generally quite crooked and depraved. It's not perhaps words that we would use, but people by and large are out for themselves rather than out for others, by and large. By and large, people are more interested in how much they can earn rather than how much time they have got to give to the community that lives around them. In this passage where Jesus is described, he's not described as somebody who occasionally is called to serve. I think most people recognize that they're occasionally called to serve. There are things to do. You know, I might go on this rota, but, you know, I don't want to go on too often. And, you know, I've got to make sure that I can fit it in amongst other things that I want to do. And I've got to, you know, do all these kinds of things to serve well. It's like being a babysitter, I suppose. I'm quite happy to have children, but I'd like to have them on the third Tuesday in the month between sort of 7 o'clock in the evening and nine, and that would be fine, thank you very much. The problem is, if you're parents, that when children come along, it's never quite that simple. It's not that we can choose when we want to serve, it's that actually, at all times, our children may need us. And we want to be there for them. Same with Jesus. That actually, he doesn't come to earth and think, right, you know, I'm going to spend most of my time in godly splendor, but I will condescend to come down to do, you know, a healing at 3 o'clock on a Friday, followed by a miraculous feeding of several thousand people, you know, next Tuesday. Oh, no, I can't do Tuesday. I've got a seminar with some angels. So maybe make it Wednesday week. No, that's not how Jesus works. And it's the same for us as Christians. You know, as I was saying earlier, if Jesus is Lord, then that is quite different from saying, well, Jesus is somebody who it'd be quite good to spend a quarter of an hour with, you know, twice a week, and then maybe a couple of hours on a Sunday. Do you see what I mean? That actually, to live distinctively means to live beyond what people are generally going to expect. And there are some people like that. There are some people who you know are going to go the extra mile, who will be there when you really need it. Who will show those kinds of Christ-like characteristics. And Paul calls these kinds of people, people who shine like stars in the dark sky. I wonder how brightly we shine. Because if we shine with a darkness, then the world is not going to particularly see it. To punch a hole in the darkness of the universe, a little pinprick of light, is a hard thing to do, it's a hard thing to be. But sometimes that's what God calls us to be. That we would shine like stars. That actually, if we think in our own lives, who are the people who we most admire? Who are the people that have affected us most? And we think, well, actually, are those the people who've got the best jobs and got the most money? Or are they the people who have spent time, who have gone the extra mile, who have spent effort with us? Walking with us when we've been in a difficult place, not abandoning us. Are those the kinds of people in our lives that have shone like stars in the universe? How do we punch a hole of light in a dark universe? I wonder if we shine like stars, if we take some time to be available rather than just keep our diaries very busy. I wonder if we punch holes into a dark universe, if we look for opportunities to say yes rather than to say no. If we choose the right thing instead of the easy thing. If we ask the kinds of questions like, not so much, how am I going to get on? How am I going to do better? How am I going to become more of a success? But ask the question, who can I cheer on? Who can I come alongside? Who can I bring and imbue some training, some to become a better person, to share that success, to make the other person better than me. Some of us perhaps find times where we can shine brightly. Sometimes we find ourselves shining dimly. Sometimes we wonder if we're shining at all, I guess. to shine as a star takes a colossal amount of energy for those who know physics and whatever. You know, the sun, 93 million miles away, you know, belts out a huge amount of heat, but there is tons and tons of reaction going on there to create that heat. There's tons and tons of energy coming out to create that heat, to create that light. Jesus is our example. He is the bright shining star. He is the one who shines more brightly than anyone has shone before or will shine again. And he offers his Holy Spirit to live with us. So the real trick is not to shine with our energy, which wears us out, but to shine with his Spirit, which doesn't wear out. And how do we do that? Sometimes it's not easy to discern the two. But I think it means spending and taking aside little parts of our day in quiet and thinking, right, what is the best thing I can do with my time now? Not what is the urgent thing that's on the top of my to-do pile, but what is it that God is calling me to do? Or who is it that once I've got all my work done that I need to get done? Who is the person I can then phone? Who is the person that I can then write a card to? Who is the person that I can keep a relationship alive and vibrant with? Because if we're a church community, which we are, then we become a community as we share our lives together, as we share time together, as we share meals together, as we share love together. And as we share with each other, so the community outside will see the love that we have for one another and be intrigued as to who these people are who are shining and how they're shining. If we're not shining, then we can't be surprised if we're not challenged about our faith. But sometimes, who knows? Who knows when there is a person who just needs to hear the gospel story, who just needs to know that there is hope, that needs to know there is a purpose, that needs to know there is more to life than just this. And if we are people who live and breathe God's story, if we are people who understand how much he loves, if we understand, then we can share far more easily. So I just encourage you that in the next season, as we go on in how to live together, how to live out our faith, that actually we live out our faith best when we're living it out with our brothers and sisters. And to do that intentionally is hard. And sometimes it might mean saying, right, I'm going to commit some time to making sure I could grow in relationship with some of these people in our church. And actually think, right, well, can I come? Am I available any of the times where the church groups are already meeting? Or do I need to find a new time and a new group of people just to gather around me and just to be able to open the Bible, to pray with one another, to grow in our Christian lives so that we can shine just that little bit brighter. I'm hoping that over the next few weeks we can discover new and different and innovative ways to grow and to live and to shine and to become a real community together. And I hope that you will come on this journey with us, and I hope that you'll find it fun, and I hope that it will be a real blessing. Next week, as I've said, we've got the opportunity to widen our horizons by meeting together and worshipping together with other people from other fellowships. So I just would encourage you to come with your crackers or your cheese and to stay and to say hello to somebody perhaps you've never met before and to just see how they're living their Christian life and sharing a bit of what your life is looking like too, that we may be able to build and encourage and make the whole Christian community of Central Telford be more one in Christ. You'll see as well coming up that we're going to share harvest with our friends at the RCCG who meet normally on the Sunday afternoon. Again, it's just time to meet with people perhaps of a different kind of culture and background to us, and you know, maybe they'll learn some things from us, but I know damn well that we can learn some things from them. That actually we haven't got the answer to everything. We haven't got everything sewn up. That actually there is more to God and more to life than perhaps we ever imagined. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be your children. That you have called us to have the same servant heart as your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help us to embrace that humility, where we see others as important or more important than ourselves. And that, Lord, you would give us wisdom in how we find the time to live out this Christian life, to live in a distinctive way, that we may be able to shine like stars in the universe to the friends and neighbours that we regularly meet, that they too may come to an understanding and a realisation of who you are and just how much they are loved. Amen. The music band are going